Thank you, Wanda. Good morning. Good morning, church. What a day to gather. So much fun activities going on outside. I asked them to please close the side door so I won't smell hamburgers for the next hour. What a wonderful, wonderful day to see you gathering this morning. Smiles, all your bright colors, and sitting elbow to elbow with neighbors and friends. Great day to celebrate. Palm Sunday begins Holy Week, the week of looking forward to all that the New Testament teaches us about the life and the culmination of the life of our Savior Jesus. As he prayed with the disciples, met with them, as he was tried and betrayed, and finally crucified 3 days later to be resurrected. Today is the beginning of all of that storyline that begins to play out with Palm Sunday. Today we celebrate the Messiah coming into Jerusalem, coming to proclaim himself as the Holy Son of God, Lord Jesus Christ. I would love for you to stand at this moment, but I'm going to ask that you remain seated and as we begin a processional this morning, because I want you to be able to see your children as they come in to sing and to lead us this morning. So as you are seated, maybe you can wave your hands as if palm branches, all right, as we begin this celebration together today. What a great day. Antiphonal Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Thank you.
invite you to stand and join us. 278, Hosanna, loud Hosanna. Join me in our affirmation of faith this morning as we state together what we believe. Join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We come on this Palm Sunday, we come in gratitude as we are afforded the opportunity to come to the throne of God's mercy, to sit quietly and to meditate upon his prayer, and to hear God speak to us gently in our spirits. So at this time, church family, I invite you, let us bow our head and go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious and loving and almighty God, as we come before you this morning, we are joyful for the triumphant entry of your sacrificial love for each and every one of us. This morning, we wave the branches of our hands and our hearts as we declare that you are our King and we are your people. As we come into this week of remembering your suffering, allow us to meditate upon your grace and mercy that has been bestowed to each and every one of us on this day. Open our hearts this week to be more prayerfully vigilant of those who are suffering, those who are mourning, grieving, struggling, and for our brothers and sisters who are lost. Let our desire be to preach the reminder to a hurting world that our Jesus suffered the worst of the worst, was thrown at him at all ways through temptation, sin, violence, and death. But that in the space between Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, our mighty Savior arose and he lives today. Allow us to hold our nation in the bosom of prayer this week, the wars and tribulations that plague our world, the natural disasters that have uprooted lives without any explanation, and the troubles we all know that others are enduring. Let our prayer remain that blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. As we come before you this morning, we pray that our hearts will be open to accept the words of obedience that our pastor will bring this morning. And may the weights of our past be left at the altar of prayer as we embark upon the spiritual journey of transformation and celebration on this day that the Lord has made. And as we come to you this morning, we come humbly praying the way that you have taught us to pray, praying together and joyfully in the body of Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church family. At this time, I invite the children to come down for children's moment with me. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Come on down. Good morning. So good to see you all. Good morning. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. You guys are coming from under the benches. Come on, come on. Wonderful. Oh, we're so glad to see all of you. Well, good morning, everyone, and a blessed Palm Sunday to you. We're so thankful to see all of you and have all of you here. Well, as we know, or we may not know, but as we all know, today is Palm Sunday. And it was so beautiful to see all of you coming in and waving your palms for Jesus on this morning. But did you know that when Jesus made his entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, that he came riding on a donkey? Did you guys know that? Yes, good, good. So you're ahead of me. So that's great. The Bible tells us that Jesus sent two of his disciples to go and find him a donkey to ride in on. And I'm sure the disciples were very confused. Jesus wants to ride in on a donkey? Are you serious? Most kings come riding in on a horse or a chariot or big fancy clothes, but Jesus wants a donkey. But you know what they did? They didn't question. They went and they said, okay, let's go and find Jesus a donkey. They did what Jesus told them to do. And they went and they found a donkey. Regardless as to what others may think or what they thought, they did what Jesus told them to do. And today in Big Church, Pastor Bill is going to be talking about obedience. And obedience to Jesus is very important. It's just like the obedience to our parents that's very important. Sometimes our parents ask us to do things that we don't think make sense a lot of times either, right? Eat your vegetables. Be nice to your sisters and brothers. Clean up your rooms. And I'm sure we're all like, why do I have to eat my vegetables? Why do I have to clean up my room? Why do I have to be nice to my brothers and sisters? Well, God has called us to obey our parents in the same way that we obey Jesus. And our obedience to God is important because in the Bible, God's word says that if you love me, you will obey me. So we want to be mindful of the obedience of Christ in everything that we do, right? Okay, so I'll tell you what we guys are going to do. You're going to be going off to children's church, and you've got a big day ahead of you. So we're going to go ahead, and we're going to bow our heads and get our praying hands ready, and we're going to say our prayers for children's church, okay? God, no matter what our age is, let us honor you in all that we do and all that we speak. Help us obey your commands to love our neighbors and honor our parents and open our hearts to be thankful for everything that you give us. In Jesus' name, let us all say really loudly, amen. Thank you, guys. Have a good children's church.
Parents, expect your children's back with you in your pew there in just a moment. There isn't children's church this morning with all the activities being set up outside. There's going to be big people in big children church outside in about 40 minutes or so.
You know, I think this is probably the way it was that first Palm Sunday, too. Let us pray for the offering today. God, thank you for your holy presence among us always. We claim your presence. We thank you for this beautiful day that you have granted. God, may your peace be upon us as we continue to worship. We praise you, God, for the gifts you've given to us. May we be generous stewards of that which you've placed in our hands with our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite us to remain standing for the reading of God's holy word. Scripture today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 36 through 46, the event of Jesus in the garden. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you could not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. In this Lenten journey, we have been in a series, Embracing the Uncertain. It's a text by Magre de Vega. And as we've gone through this series today, we're looking at the uncertainty of obedience. And there's perhaps no greater example of that than Jesus in the garden praying, as we see here in this text. And there are several dimensions of obedience that I want to talk about today. I know that's not a popular word. Discipline, obedience are words that we tend to shy away from. But they're really not optional for us. They're essential for us. So they're relevant to everyone, every age bracket, every social arena and status. All experiences of our lives entail this principle of obedience. So first, I want to talk about the first dimension is the choice of obedience. The choice of obedience. And in his book, De Vega tells a story of an elderly man who went to the doctor and shared with the doctor that he thought his wife was going deaf. And the doctor told him, "Well, test that out and see how severe it might be before we actually make an appointment." So that evening, his wife was cooking supper, and he was going to test her hearing, and he stood about 20 feet behind her, and he asked, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And there was no response. So he got a few feet closer, and he said, "Honey, what's for dinner?" No response. So he got a little bit closer, and he said, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And there was no response. And finally, he got right behind her, and he said, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And she turned around and yelled, "For the fourth time, I said chicken." Sometimes we may wonder about the hearing issue and who really has that issue. All of us have experienced times in our life when we struggle hearing and also hearing from the Lord. And what we mean is not just hearing, but listening and responding obediently. Perhaps it's not so much the hearing part as it is responding to what we have heard or know. I find this attitude common not just in those who might be a little older in the age spectrum, but also for those who perhaps are younger, as children or youth. I recall when our children were much younger, we went on a family trip to the beach off Sanibel Island. Our daughter Jamie was very small at the time, and our family was at the beach, and there was a condo and a pool by the condo, and she wanted to go back to the pool. And we were trying to get her to stay down to the big water, the ocean, for a little bit longer, and she kept saying to us that she wanted to go back to the pool. But we were trying to coax her still to stay down by the ocean. And so she simply said in her childish southern voice, "But I want to. But I want to." I find that "want to" in each of us, perhaps no matter what our age might be. And I was thinking back even to the book of Beginnings, to Genesis, when God told them, "You can have and eat from every tree in the garden but one." And I imagine the same thing with Eve as she heard those words from the Lord. You can have every tree but that one. And Eve might say, "But I want to. I want to, Lord." It's a common struggle all the way back to the book of Beginnings with this "I want to." Perhaps in direct opposition to what God wants. One of the clear foundational scriptures of this, and Paul identifies that we have a fallen nature, a sinful nature, and he speaks about that in a lot of texts in the New Testament, but one in particular, particularly surrounding this principle of obedience. This is Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. He says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, but just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God." All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. So notice what he says here. We are by nature disobedient. And he says, even we refuse to obey. We want to go in the other direction. In this scene, in the last hours of Jesus' life, we see the struggle for the choice of obedience. We see in the disciples closest to Jesus, starting with Judas, who would betray him, Peter, who would deny him, and all the disciples who would forsake him, as Matthew says a little bit later in this chapter. De Vega makes this observation, bringing it to modern day times. He says, like the crowds and the disciples, we always have a choice. We always have a choice. Whether to listen for God's voice and do what is difficult or choose the path of least resistance. Now, obedience may not always be the most difficult path. It is knowing and doing God's will as we know it. And very often that might be the more difficult path. Perhaps one of the most riveting passages in all the scripture is Jesus in this scene pouring out his heart to God the Father, looking for a way to avoid the cross, his suffering in the cross. He's desperately praying for release from this, but then God's direction is made clear for him, and Jesus, in every instance here, submits his will to God. That's the ultimate scene of submission and obedience. And it's the ultimate example of the choice of obedience. So the first part of this is there that we choose obedience. There's a choice of obedience. The next part of this is what I call the content of obedience. What's involved in obedience? How do we become more obedient? I think a common struggle is what I call partial obedience or mixed obedience. It's the tension between partial obedience and full, complete obedience. De Vega lists some common human struggles with obedience that I found quite convicting. He says, one, we will choose to follow Jesus as long as he meets our own expectations. And I thought about Judas. Why did Judas betray Jesus? Why did he sell him out for 30 pieces of silver? There might be mixed emotions about that or mixed thoughts and feelings about it, but most would agree that Judas wanted Jesus to be a political militant Messiah. And Jesus was going to be a suffering servant from the prophecy of Isaiah. He was not meeting Judas's expectations, so Judas betrayed him. He says, we will choose to identify with Jesus so long as it is convenient. We'll say all of the disciples that were there eventually walked out on Christ when it became difficult or hard or where there was more skin in the game, they left. 30 says, we will stay alert and awake in our prayers as long as we are not hungry or tired. We see that on full display here. James and John and Peter as well. And the last thing he says, we will stand by Jesus as long as the risk becomes too great or doesn't become too great. That was Peter. Remember, he followed to see what was going to happen to Jesus after he was arrested, and he denied the Lord those three times. DeVega says we can preserve ourselves, and Peter was doing that, rather than losing his life to save it. He was trying to save his life, and in that case, moving toward losing it. In the book of Acts, we see the history of the church. The apostles were now on the move. They were preaching and teaching. People were being healed. The Holy Spirit was engaging the whole community. And then the high priest and the Sanhedrin became jealous of the apostles. And they put them in jail. Angel intervened and delivered them. And they continued to preach. The Sanhedrin confronted them again. Leading up to the apostles' declaration, here's what they said, and this is Acts 5:29. We must obey God rather than human beings. Well, that's quite an incredible statement, isn't it? That the priority of our obedience is always to God first. And it's being fully compliant to what the Lord is teaching us. Jesus took on human flesh and became one of us. But he didn't stop there. He lived a perfect life, preaching and teaching and healing, but he didn't stop there. He chose 12 disciples to follow him and initiate the church, but he didn't stop there. Jesus allowed himself to be ridiculed and to suffer, but he didn't stop there. He gave himself completely, wholly to the work of salvation that the Father had planned. He freely and completely laid down his life for us. Completely listening to God the Father and everything God wanted him to do. Lord, your will be done. Even if it means the cross. There was no partial obedience, no mixed obedience, but full obedience to God here with Jesus. Like what Peter Bulkley says here. If God be God over us, we must yield him universal obedience in all things. He must be over us in not over us in one thing and under us in another, but he must be over us in everything. This Palm Passion Sunday draws our attention to Pontius Pilate also, who was a civil judge over Jesus. I find it interesting that Pilate heard many voices. He heard many voices. He heard the voice of his wife who warned him not to execute Jesus. He heard the fickle crowd's voice. Hosanna, Hosanna had turned to crucify him, crucify him. He heard the voice of his own conscience, knowing Jesus was not worthy of death, and tried to washed his hands. And he heard the voice of Jesus, who was right beside him. Sadly, the scriptures indicate that the voice of the crowd prevailed. Luke 23:23. But they were instant with their loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priest prevailed. The great theologian Karl Barth says that Pontius Pilate is a representative of all humanity. What that means is we are all confronted with the person of Jesus. And we all will choose what we will do with Jesus. We hear a lot of voices in our world, the social media platforms, our friends, politicians, our peer groups. But what is the prominent voice that we are hearing? Whose voice prevails in our lives? Are we fully obedient to the voice of the Lord in our lives? The last part of this, and I think the most important, is not only is the choice of obedience and the content of our obedience, but also the consequence. And the consequence of this is incredibly important. First, I want to go to the negative side of this. The negative consequence is when we fail to obey or disobey. Theologically, we say we live in a fallen world. We are all sinners, and our world is corruptible. And back to the origin of that from Genesis 3, God put before Adam and Eve the choice, and she wanted to, and she did eat from the forbidden fruit and gave to Adam, and he ate as well. Think about if she had obeyed. No fall, no corruption, no death or dying. Perfect harmony if she had obeyed. That's huge. I like what the Bishop of Liverpool said many years ago. We are too apt to forget that temptation to sin will rarely present itself to us in its true colors, saying, I'm your deadly enemy, and I want to ruin you forever in hell. Sin comes to us like Judas with a kiss, like Job with outstretched hand and flattering words. The forbidden fruit seemed good and desirable to Eve, yet it cast her out of Eden. Our disobedience has deeper consequences. It's not just personal consequences for us, but it is all of those who are affected by our choices. I think one of the biggest lies of the enemy is what we do will not hurt anybody else. Yet the consequences will come. God has ordered the world in such a manner that we reap what we sow, and the consequences are far greater than what we might imagine. I like what Ravi Zacharias has said here. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. But here's the good news. Christ's obedience has brought our salvation. His cross is our glory. His nails brought our healing. His blood bought our redemption. And Paul talks about this. And even using the language of obedience on this Passion Sunday, Romans 5:18, here's what he says. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, that's back to Adam and Eve, so also one righteous act resulted in justification, salvation, and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, that is Jesus, many were made righteous. Simply put, our disobedience brought sin and shame and death in the world. Christ's obedience brought about redemption, salvation, righteousness. Author and speaker Brennan Manning had an amazing story of how he got his name, Brennan. While growing up, his best friend was Ray. The two of them were inseparable. They bought a car together, hung out as teenagers together. They double dated together, went to school together. They enlisted in the army together, went to boot camp together, and both of them were on the front lines in World War II together. One night while they were sitting in a foxhole, Brennan was reminiscing about their old days, thinking back in Brooklyn where they grew up. And his friend Ray was listening, eating a chocolate bar, and suddenly a live grenade was thrown into the foxhole. And Ray looked at his friend Brennan, smiled and dropped his chocolate bar and draped his body over the grenade. It exploded. It killed Ray. But Brennan's life was spared. Later, Brennan became a priest, and he was instructed to take on the name of a saint. And he thought of his friend, Ray Brennan. So he took the name Brennan. Brennan Manning. Later, years later, he went to visit Ray's mother in Brooklyn. They sat up late one night having tea. And Brennan audaciously asked his mom, "Do you think Ray loved me?" Miss Brennan got up out of the couch quickly, shook her finger in front of Brennan's face, and shouted, Well, what more could he have done for you? What more? Brennan said at that moment he experienced an epiphany. He imagined himself standing before the cross of Jesus wondering, does God really love me? Does God really love me? And Jesus' mother Mary pointing at her son saying, what more could he have done for you? What more? I love what Tim Keller says. Here's the gospel. You're more sinful than you ever dared believe. You're more loved than you ever dared hope. Last thing I'll share with you this morning. Jesus modeled obedience for us. And on this day, perhaps more than any other, he calls us to be fully obedient to him. Philippians 2, 5 through 8, he says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And here's what it says next. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Friends, we on this Passion Sunday are confronted with the love of God in its fullest demonstration in the person of Jesus. And his love compels us to follow, to hear his voice, to live daily as he taught us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth in me as it's done in heaven. And to say, even when I want to do something else, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. May we pray. Lord, as we celebrate this wonderful day, we pray we would not forget the sacrifice you made in full obedience to God the Father. Thank you for your willingness to lay down your life for all of us so that we might truly be saved and know the joy of your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. We do shout Hosanna, praise to you. But also, God, let us say Hosanna in a life that is in compliance and fully obedient to your will. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
Our hymn of response this morning is found at number 286, 286 in the hymnal. Stand with me as we sing together.
before we depart from this place today, a few announcements to keep you aware of ways to worship, study, and serve with us. The Senior Primetimer Senior Adult Ministry will be going to see Funny Girl on April the 14th at 1:30 p.m. There is a deadline to register by March the 29th, and more information on the website or calling into the church office. We have our Holy Week schedule printed for you, and we have quite a few things coming up that we invite you to. Our Easter celebration is today, right after church service, and we invite you and your friends to stay and family as well. Our Monday-Thursday service is March the 28th, this Thursday at 6 o'clock p.m., and our Good Friday service is Friday at 6:30 p.m. Our Easter services for March 31st are as listed, our outdoor sunrise service at 7 a.m., our traditional service at 9 a.m., and our contemporary service at 11 a.m. We look forward to bringing in this Easter season with you and your family. We invite you to continue to come out. As we prepare to go into this place, I have just enjoyed you this morning, and I give God grace, give God thanks for grace and mercy, for His love in all our shortcomings, and knowing that we can go to God for all that we have. May we go in the grace and the peace of knowing that we serve an abundant God, a God who loves us, and may we be obedient to the God who loves us, the God who sees us, and the God who will guide us through this week. Go in the peace and the grace of God. And until we meet again, my dear friends, shalom and the peace of God be with you.